When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. I'm Danny Brothers and I'm here to look ahead to the final game of the season for Northampton Town. Joining me to preview the game is someone hoping that it's not the final game of the season for his team. Please welcome back to the preview show, Ian from the Reds Report. How are you doing, Ian?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for asking us to come back on.
Good to have you back. Quiet week for you guys.
Nothing much happened.
Not a lot going on. Sort of lead into the final game of the season. And we've got to start with it. The huge news coming out of your club this week. Neil Collins sacked after the game on Saturday with your team in fifth place in League One. Hopefully for you guys, about to embark on a playoff campaign. Let's start with your initial reaction then when that news broke. What was going through your mind when that came out?
Initially, I was surprised at the timing. I wasn't surprised that it would happen. I think everybody outside of Barnsley Football Club was like, what on earth has happened? You're fifth. You've been fifth. We've been fifth. Or been in the playoffs since October, not left them all season. What you're doing, you've got a game to go. You know, you're going to be likely to be in the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. But people inside, like us watching all season, I don't think were surprised. He'd lost the fans. We think he probably lost the dressing room. I was just surprised that the club made that decision with a game to go. But I think they probably could realise that we really could finish seventh come 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. We could miss out if they don't do something very, very quickly.
It's only been appointed since last summer, wasn't he, Collins? Yeah. But from everything that I've been reading, it's felt like it's been coming for a while. Like you said, it's been relegation form since March. The tactics poor, no real identity to the way you've been playing. And recently, like you mentioned, it feels like he's completely lost the players. And when that happens, especially ahead of a potential playoff campaign, it feels like it is the right time for the club to act.
Yeah, absolutely. We are in, I think we're 23rd in the form table for the last five games. We're basically relegation form for the last 10. We've not won at home since the 24th of February when we beat Derby. You're right, I think early March, just after the Derby game, we were at home to Bolton. We were 2-0 up at half-time. And that's when it's all our form has fallen off a cliff, basically. We drew that game 2-2. And they've never recovered. The next game, we lost 5-1 at home to Lincoln. And we had, at that time, we had games in hand. And we were looking that we had a real shot at second. Whether we would have got that, obviously, you know, there's a lot of football to be played, but it was a realistic chance. And like I say now, you know, I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, it's on the cards that we'll finish seventh. We'll miss out because of the way that we've been playing. So, yeah, all the things you've said, no real identity. We've struggled all season to know what our style of play. He's never really had a plan B. His substitutes have always been like for like. Never been able to change a game. We've conceded so many more goals this season. And there's a little bit of sympathy in that it's not the squad that got us to the playoff final last season. You know, we've got three of our players are in the Coventry setup. Brad Collins in goal, Liam Kitchen at the back, and Bobby Thomas, although he was only on loan from Burnley, he played half a season for us. Mads Andersen, the other central defender, has gone to Luton. There's about three or four ex-Barnsley players that are in the Luton squad at the minute. So they've gone on, the better players have gone, and we've recruited National League, League Two players, but spent very little money. They've been free buys, loans. And so I feel a little bit for him in that respect. But We've conceded far too many goals. Last three games, we've conceded three goals from set pieces. So that's our weakness at the moment. And they just don't look like they're coached. They look like 11 strangers thrown together. And when you think that we're at the end of the season now, there's just no cohesion. That's got to come on the coach's head.
So the style of play and everything like that is... I mean, were the results basically papering over a lot of the cracks? Has it always been like that throughout the season, or did it literally take a turn at the start of March?
Yeah, he struggled for a long time to find his best 11, which I know a new manager can take some time. Michael Duff last season was very similar. He said that our form wouldn't pick up until about 3 months into the season, and he was correct. It took longer for Collins. The bizarre stat is that under Neil Collins this season, we have broke a record of the most away wins and away points in a season in our whole history. But that has papered up over the cracks. We've not played well at home, away from home. Our home form is awful. Like I say, we've not won since the end of February. Just kept picking up those victories on the road, because it kept us in the playoffs. People kept saying, well, we're in the playoffs, you know, that kind of thing. But eventually, the football's been really quite dour. It's been one of the most uneventful seasons watching Barnsley. It's been quite poor. We've been fortunate in the last few managers we've had. They've played very much pressing football. The players have been really playing for the shirt. And it's not been a bad watch, to be fair. Whereas this season, it's just been very, very dull. And I think once that away form tailed off, and I think we've lost the last four away, that's when it's really started to fall apart for him. So a strange appointment in the first place. He'd been in the American Second League, not even in the MLS. He'd been coaching in the ALS at Tampa for some years. This was his first probably big British job. And yeah, he struggled to win the fans over, to be fair.
Yeah, and when results do start to go, then you know you can hold on to results, can't you? And kind of keep it going, But you know, when you drew with Bolton, that's a 98th minute equaliser for Bolton. Just shows how different it could have been, because if you'd have won that game, you're 1 point behind the top two with a game in hand, and suddenly you're right on course for promotion. You then the following week you're at home to Lincoln and you lose 5-1, and then it just starts to kind of roll after that.
Starts to unravel
a little bit after that. Was there any kind of games moments before this week where you just thought that we've got to change now, or has it just been a case of just get to the end of the season, get to the playoffs, and hope for the lottery that it is?
Yeah. My honest opinion thought was that they would wait till the end of the season, see exactly where we would finish, etc. But I think he really lost the fans at Easter. We lost poorly at home to Cambridge 2-0, and then went to Burton on the Easter Monday. We were losing and playing poorly, and the fans actually started turning on him at the game. We ended up winning that game, turning it around, but I think that was when... It's hard to pull people back then, isn't it, when you know that the fans have turned, even though we won that game. The fans had had enough of the style of play, the fact that they could see the season unravelling. And so it was really, it started to turn for him at Easton. He's not been able to change that course. And the players didn't really. I've been going through the motions. They don't look like they were fighting for him either. I'm not saying they're down tools so much, but they just seem to be going through the motions. We've conceded so many goals. In fact, if anything, I've been saying all season, if you do betting accumulators, we've been a great one for both teams to score, because although we've scored similar amount of goals to last season, we've conceded far more. And we always seem to gift teams opportunities and they tend to take them, which just makes it more difficult then to get a result.
So Martin Devaney in at the moment, played for you. Played for you as a player as well. He's caretaker. I think it's his second spell as caretaker. Mm-hmm. Is there any chance of that becoming, or, you know, it's just a continuation of what was, because he was in the previous setup? Is that the fear at the moment?
Possibly. The hope is that he's obviously been around the club for a long time. He's played for us. He's been involved in the academies for a long time. The hope is that he's that connection that would be, he would know what our best 11 is. He would probably be one to, which is in effect a cup final almost for us on Saturday. He would be the man to kind of take the pressure off the players and motivate them, and they'd go out and play a bit more for the shirt. I don't think he's the long-term answer. I'm not really actually sure if he wants the job. He didn't seem to want it last night. He was happy to help out, but I think he's happy to be a coach in the back, like a number two. I don't think he particularly wants the job first. So I think he's a safe pair of hands, but it's got to come from the players. And I think, although Collins has come in for some stick this season and ultimately lost his job because it's a results-based business, the board have took a bit of flack, and rightly so, because of the recruitment. But also the players, some of those players last season under Michael Duff had great seasons. And this season, we've been torn on our podcast of saying, like, they've dropped off 10, 15, 20%, some of them key players. Now, is that the players or is it the coach that's not getting the best out of them, that Michael Duff got the best out of him last season? He was a great man manager. So there's a little bit of criticism, and rightly so, at some of the players. So really on Saturday, if those players are still not interested, we could still have more of the same. There is that danger that Devaney comes in and he's not got a magic wand. He's still got the same players to choose from. But I think the difference is going to be on Saturday. Had Collins been in charge, it would be very toxic in the stands. I went to the last home game against Reading, and it was toxic within 5 or 10 minutes. The crowd were on the players' backs. Whereas I think that will go now on Saturday. The ticket sales have gone really well. I think there'll be more optimism and they'll get behind the players. Whereas had we, for argument's sake, Collins still been there, the game, either Northampton score early or the game stays 0-0 for a long time and other scores are coming in, it would have turned. And I think no disrespect to yourselves, you're safe. Whether your players are up for Saturday or not, I don't know. But I think our biggest enemy is ourselves, that we could implode on Saturday and end up seventh and blow it.
Yeah, it's very much a short-term need for you at the minute, I guess, isn't it? Just get through the playoffs, or get to the playoffs originally and then see what happens.
But the problem with the playoffs is you need momentum, don't you? You can't just turn it on and off like a tap. So somebody like Lincoln, who's been on a great run you can't just squeeze into the playoffs and then suddenly turn it on, can you? So our expectations within the playoffs, if we do get in there, is low as well, because you can't suddenly see the players shaking this off that they've this form that they've been on.
Yeah, there has been a couple of reports today as we record on Wednesday. By the time we release this on Friday, things might be a little bit clearer as to what's going to happen for Saturday. A couple of reports linking you with the Austrian Dominik Thalhammer. Don't know a lot about him myself. He hasn't been in work since last summer, left KV Oostend. Not sure what the link is there, but it seems to be fairly strongly linked. And the fact that you tried to get a work permit for him and it's not quite came off yet. So there's potential that, I don't know if you're going to leave it for a bit longer or keep Devaney for the playoff campaign. But at the moment, it looks like Devaney is going to be in charge on Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. The press release that came out on Monday said that the club would update supporters in the next couple of days, which made us think, well, actually, they've got somebody lined up. And I think the plan was that Collins would be fired in the morning on the Monday, and this Thalhammer would come in and in the afternoon, and it would be seamless kind of thing. But Barnsley being Barnsley, they don't really do the due diligence and realise he hasn't got a work permit. And just like we played an ineligible player in the FA Cup and got kicked out this season, it's a Barnsley thing to do. But our board seem to go very left field with some of the coaches, and it can be a bit hit and miss. We've had some successes where they've gone for managers who we've never heard of across Europe, but it also has backfired massively. It's only probably got about a 40% success rate in the last 5 years, where fans want maybe a Neil Warnock to come in, ex-player.
Get him in there
for the playoffs, or maybe Paul Heckingbottom, who's not got a job after Sheffield United. He's ex-Barnsley, lives in the town still. He would long-term would be a great appointment, but the club don't seem to go for that type. They seem to find some guy who nobody's ever heard of and hope it works. Obviously, they've got a reason for going for him, but the only thing bits I've seen about him is his teams have been very much huge pressing sides, which we have mad managers that do that in the past. But the usual names get rolled out, but the Barnsley board always got, like we went for Collins last season, but it doesn't always work, unfortunately. Like, you know, we'd like to have that experienced manager who can come in, and because it's going to be a rebuild in the summer, we're going to lose a lot of the loans, a lot of our players have been around for a few years, their contracts end in the summer, don't look like they stay in. Devante Cole's one of them. So it's going to be a rebuild job, and I'd rather have an experienced man who's probably built teams before at the helm rather than somebody who nobody has any idea or any clue about.
Yeah, it seems like a really difficult time to appoint, because obviously it's a really intense day on Saturday to get to the playoffs in the first place. You'd meant they then might have a two-legged playoff to deal with. It's hard, I guess, to make that appointment knowing that it's a, in a few games time, you might be appointing for the championship, if that makes sense. Like you, whereas now, if it was after Saturday, you hadn't made it, you can start building with a League One manager. But now it feels very much like in limbo. And like I was saying to some of our my other podcasters on the pod, I was like, I need to slip in Neil Warnock's name somewhere. But you've done it for me. You've done my job for me. So there we go. It's straight in there. And for entertainment value itself.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would be the type who would come in and be like, right, I'm going to take over now and I expect to get the job full time next season, wherever we are.
Yeah.
But like, for a quick burst of passion and, you know, what that does the atmosphere on Saturday and in the playoffs, if you've got Warnock on the sidelines, I mean, just to tick off, you're probably the only Yorkshire team that he's not managed, right?
And well, that's it. He played for us. He's got, you know, he has a real affinity with us, even though he's managed many, many clubs. but you know, there was always like some of the fans were like saying, you know, we've partly got rid of Collins because the season ticket sales are on and they've got an early bird deadline that's coming up. And if they could get Warnock in, you'd probably put another few thousand season tickets on for next season and that. But he would guarantee, in the short term, even so, that bounce that you probably need going into the playoffs. And
he would love it as well, wouldn't he? He loves that kind of thing, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
he loves that kind of, I want that last, like you saw what he did in Scotland, trying to almost get to the cup final and he was sacked. So he just loves that quick burst of adrenaline, doesn't he? So, is it actually a real possibility? Because we've been joking about it on our pod, but is it genuinely a possibility that he could be in by Saturday or for the playoffs?
I doubt it. I think he'd love to. I just don't think our board think that way. I just don't think they see it like that at all. And the fans would love it. He would love it. But they just don't, I don't know, they just don't seem to view it the same. I'd be shocked if it happened. I really would, but I'd love it all the same.
Ideally then, who do you want for the job and who do you think it'll be full time?
I'd like to see somebody like Paul Heckingbottom come back in. He managed us and got us promoted out of League One last time. We won the Johnson's Paints at the time trophy with him. He again knows the club. He did a good job under difficult circumstances at Sheffield United, really. I mean, they were always on a hiding to nothing this season, getting promoted. But what he did to get them promoted to the Premier League was fantastic. And I just think he would be the longer-term better option. But I just can't see the board. The links with some Austrian that nobody's ever heard of. Is just typical of them that they won't look for the obvious. I mean, people have talked about Grant McCann at Doncaster. They've just won something like 10 games in a row. He seems to be turning them around. That type of manager would, you know, an experienced man would be ideal. the reality is, I think we'll end up with scratching our heads and trying to go on Google to find out a bit about our new manager, like we did with Neil Collins when we signed him last summer. Everyone was Googling, going, who's he? Kind of remembered him as a player, but where's he been since he retired? So I think the reality is very different, unfortunately.
Yeah, Grant McCann's going to be waiting for the Peterborough job to come up again in the summer, isn't he? So he'll be holding out for that one. Before the break, then, what would be the one quality that you want from the new manager, seeing as you've got Collins to base it on? But
I think for me, I want somebody with a real personality. Some of our recent successes as managers, Michael Duff, Villian Ismail, who nearly got us to the Premier League. We had Daniel Stendel a few seasons ago, who got us out of League One into the Championship. They've been real personalities. Mm-hmm. They've made that connection between the team and the fans. And you know, you listen to the pre-match and post-match interviews. They were really interesting, really stirring. They got the players playing for the shirt, and that then connected with the fans. That's the type of manager. I mean, obviously, tactically they've got to be good at that. But that, I want somebody with a real personality who's going to really gel everything, because it has got very fractured between the fans and the team under Collins. That'd be the big key for me. That'd be a big tick.
So we'll see what happens. Like I say, it might have, by the time this comes out, it might have resolved itself. And so we'll hold fire on that for a little bit. Time for a quick break now. We'll be back after these ads to talk more about the game itself on Saturday. Welcome back to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. I'm still here with Ian from the Reds Report. One game to go then, Ian, against the Cobblers, obviously, and then potentially playoff semi-finals to come. You talked a little bit earlier about what the managerial change might do to the atmosphere on Saturday. I guess whoever comes in, it's going to be a boost. There's going to be that quick response of, let's get behind the players now and let's have something to fight for. If we get sort of 20, 30, 40 minutes into the game and it's been still a little bit disjointed, is there any chance that the atmosphere can work in our favour at all?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100%. I think, whereas I think it may have almost been toxic from the first minute. Yeah. I'm going to say that might be a bit harsh, but from the first 5 or 10 minutes, had Collins been there, I think the fans will give the Barnsley players a little bit more slack. But I think if they're laboured, if they're struggling to get going, if Northampton can really stifle us and probably really try and hit us on the break and really make it nervous, then Oakwell will become a really nervous place, and then you start hearing goals coming in at the other games. I think if I was Northampton manager, would be stay in the game for the first 20 minutes, make it difficult, and it will probably falling, you know, come be suited to you without a shadow of a doubt, because the nerves are going to then start play a massive part of the game, definitely.
So coming back to the Cobblers ourselves, obviously it's going to be a slightly different lineup, tactics, all that kind of thing to how we was when we faced you at Sixfields. I thought you were really impressive that day. I thought you were a really good side, probably the best team I'd seen up to that point. Did you see the game? Did you see what did you make of the Cobblers that day?
Yeah. To be fair, I've not seen a great deal of your play, but I know it can be a tough game down at your ground, without a shadow of a doubt. You have to earn a victory down there without a doubt. It'll be interesting to see how you guys set up, because you're safe. It's, you know, the players on the beach, so to speak, as they say at this time of the season. How be interesting from our point of view how you guys have been playing and what sort of performances and what you expect on Saturday from your side, because you're in a dangerous opposition for us, because you've got nothing to lose and you could just go. It could be one of them games that's like a basketball match end to end. You know, you sometimes get some strange results at the end of the season, don't you? Mm. Teams have got the pressure off of them. So it'd be interesting to see how you set up and how you approach the game. And that could be quite nervous for us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say we're on the beach, because our manager's come out and had a go at people who have said that, but there has been more the kind of, you can tell that we've reached a points target, and there's that little bit of lacking concentration happening now and again. Happened for the second goal on Saturday with Sam Hoskins at the back post, just momentarily switching off. And I think that's what you do get when you play against teams like us. If you can be a step ahead of us and, you know, make us lose concentration, then you'll be absolutely fine, I think. I don't think our fans will be massively worried about the results. It's probably a big farewell to two of our lone players that have been amazing this season. That's probably one of the main reasons we'll be travelling. And it's just that end of season sort of party atmosphere, isn't it, that you get when, and we've got to enjoy it, because it's very rare that we've got nothing to play for on the final day. So we've got to go and just enjoy But job for you, just secure that playoff place. You're in pole position essentially for one of those last two places, yourselves, Lincoln, Oxford and Blackpool going for two places for fifth and sixth. You're in fifth, 75 points. You've got Lincoln there, like we said, been on fantastic form. You know, one of these teams that come into the playoffs and anything can happen with the momentum that they've got. I think they've got Portsmouth, haven't they, at home on Saturday. Yes. And obviously Portsmouth have gone up already. They're the champions already. They'll just be going there for a party as well. So Lincoln, I would imagine, are quite a danger. Oxford go to Exeter. We saw Exeter last weekend, decent side. They'll be wanting to end their season on a high at home as well. And then Blackpool, who obviously you played last week. I mean, what did you see of them when they beat you? Because that was a huge result for them to keep them within touching distance. How did they look?
They look really good. It's funny actually, because I work with a Blackpool fan, and he'd said to me, "We're not playing well. We don't score many goals, and yet they went and put three past us and hit the bar. I don't know how many times." And they absolutely were up for it, massively up for it. They were quick on the break. They were just incisive. They just seemed really motivated, and I think on the day. And their home form, I think they've something like unbeaten in 12 on the last home game. So it's always a tough place to go. And I just feel that they really put us to the sword. First half, especially. And they on the day, they can. I tipped them to be up there for the top two. Blackpool, and it's just not quite happened. They've not been as good away from home. But yeah, they were well up for it on Saturday and blew us away, especially in that first half. It could have been more than three at one point.
Yeah, they've got Reading away. Not out a bit by a long shot. Even a draw for you isn't guaranteeing anything, is it?
Because the goal difference.
With goal difference, yeah.
So we've got to be careful with that. I mean, I did predict... on our last podcast, obviously before Collins went, that I thought it'd be 1-1. I thought we'd end up dropping points on Saturday, just purely because of the nervousness and the form that we're on. But I still think that's the danger, that we could drop points on Saturday. I really do, because I'm not expecting a massive magic wand. I think we'll come out. I can see us coming out first 10 minutes and being fired up. And Devaney will have us fired up. But then once the dust settles, if you can probably handle that first 10 minutes and it's still 0-0 and you grow into the game, that's when it'll swing in your favour, because it'll become quiet, Oakwell, and nervous. But the goal difference, we're on the same as Blackpool, and we've got inferior goal difference on Oxford and Lincoln. Pompey lost at home after winning the title against us. They lost at home to Wigan. Have they then switched off? Reading got a 2-2 Oakwell that kept them up. They've then switched off since they've gone safe. So you wonder what sort of opposition they're going to be for those teams that are in and around us. So it makes for a very interesting Saturday.
Yeah, I guess they'll be saying the same about you, though, when they look at your fixture. They'll be thinking, oh, they're playing. You convince yourself as a football fan anyway, don't you, that all the other teams' fixtures are better and all this kind of thing. I can guarantee Lincoln, Oxford and Blackpool will be looking at you and thinking you're in complete pole position. You are in the league, but with that fixture as well at home, having new manager or no manager bounce even, maybe that you're coming into it in the prime position. And your job is really, really simple. There's nothing else going on. And that's the best place to be, I think, in this situation for your players' mentality, isn't it? That, you know, there's no two ways about it. If you win, you're there. And that's the there's no thinking about it. There's no, oh, will a draw be enough on the day? You know, if you're going to get 3 points, you're
which
done.
Is dangerous. Yeah, it's very dangerous. just go out. As long as we go out and do our job and what we're capable of doing, then I'd like, you know, not an arrogance, but hopefully we should be enough.
Mm.
But it'd just be such a Barnsley thing to do to get into the last 10 minutes and the season's dangling by a thread and and all panic stations.
Oh dear. So looking at the playoffs at the moment, then it's Bolton. We've got the blue lot from down the road in fourth, and then Lincoln in sixth. Oxford, Blackpool outside it. Who would you, if out of all those, who would you like to face in the playoffs if you had a choice?
I wouldn't like to face any of them, to be honest. I think there's massive amounts of pressure on Bolton and Peterborough after last season. I think talking to a few Bolton fans that I know, I think it won't surprise me if Bolton don't go up the season, Ian Everett might move on. He's been there a few years. I think this is, after missing out last season, they've recruited quite well in January. Getting Aaron Collins from Bristol Rovers has been a great buy. And I think so. I think it's a bit how they handle the pressure. I think we're likely to play Peterborough if it stays roughly. If we get in there, I think we'll play Peterborough in the semi-finals.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tend to do too bad against them. We tend to do well there, and they do well at Oakwell. So it's going to be a close one. I probably would rather play somebody like that because I think Lincoln are the danger team. I really think Lincoln are very dangerous if it's them. I think.
I mean, looking at it, it's probably for a semi-final at least. Anyway, it won't be. Yeah, it's impossible for it to be Lincoln or Oxford or Blackpool, I guess, isn't it, at the moment? Just because the way it is.
So it's looking like Peter. Yeah, and then possibly Lincoln versus Bolton, is it, or something? I wouldn't. None of them are easy, are they? I've said for a while I could see it being Bolton Barnsley final. Like we played them in the semi. I think we played them 5 times last season. I think we played obviously twice in the league. We played them 2 semi-finals against them, and we played them in the FA Cup. We were sick of seeing each other. And then, so I could see it almost happening again that we play them like 4 times this season. But it's just difficult, isn't it? Who do you pick? Who do you choose? Peterborough, funny side. On the day, they can be very, very good. And then, we went there at Christmas and drew 2-2. We were 2-0 up. We played really, really well. But then at home, they beat us comfortably. So they're a lottery, aren't they?
Yeah,
let's face it. They're a lottery of the playoffs.
Yeah. And at least if you know you're facing them, then 4-0 after the first leg, you still got a chance. So that's always good.
Absolutely.
We've got to drip that in there while we can still. Looking into the game itself on Saturday then, very hard to say how you're going to set up tactically, but have you got any inklings of how Devaney's played before? If it is him, what we expect tactically from you?
It wouldn't surprise me if we stay 3-5-2. Seems to work quite well for us. What Collins was doing recently was kept chopping and changing the front two, which I didn't think helped at all. I think your strikers need to be playing every week. They kept changing them. It wouldn't surprise me with Devaney. Got 3-5-2. I think we'll see. We might see some of the younger lads either on the bench. And we've got a striker, a young lad, 18-year-old Fabio Jallo, who's played for Portugal under 23s. He will get a big money move somewhere. He's just one of those naturally gifted strikers. I think he'll start, and he's been a shining light of the season. So I can see him putting a couple of the younger lads in or who we'll know will play for the shirt. So, but I think formation-wise, I think we'll probably do the usual 3-5-2, I think.
Nice. Liam Roberts still number one for you at the moment?
Yes. Yes, he's... he had a great first few months. He's had a little, he had an injury for a couple of weeks, and he's come back and had a bit of a wobble. But, to be fair, his kicking's not the best, but he's a fantastic shot stopper. I'd say just last few weeks he's made a few errors, but he's not been the only one, to be fair. But he had a great first few months with us. He was superb.
Yeah. Is he one that you'd like to keep?
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, I mean, his loan's up. I don't think there looks like a future at Middlesbrough for him. So it'd be nice if we can secure that. I think he'd want to stay, actually. He seems to have settled really, he settled really quickly. So yeah, he's been quite a positive, really, overall. I'd say probably Player of the Year awards, I would say I'd put him in the top three for that, for us.
Nice. Has that been announced yet, Player of the Year awards? Is it?
No, they're still doing the voting, but I think he would be up there with probably, I mean, Devante Cole's got, I think, 17 goals this season, so he's going to be up there. But I think I could see him coming third in that. He's been that influential.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Who do you think is going to win it? Who gets your Player of the Year?
We signed a French centre-half, Mel de Givenet, and he's settled right in. Obviously, never played in British football before. Never. He's obviously had to move countries, and he just looks a decent player. And I think consistently wise, he's probably been the most consistent performer throughout the season. So I think he's likely to win. I'd like to. He got all our votes on our podcast for sure.
Nice. Was that last summer he joined? Was it?
Yeah, he joined in the summer. So this is his first full season with us.
Nice, good find. Injury suspensions then, ahead of the weekend, where are you at the minute?
I think we've still got question marks over Luke O'Connell in midfield. He's missed the last few games. Well, I mean, he's had a really injury hit season, full stop, but he came back and started playing regularly, and he's gone out again now. Herbie Kane in midfield, probably will play because I think he played at Blackpool, but he'd had a niggle. So he's playing more, probably just Luke O'Connell's going to be the big miss. I think he probably will miss again. Other than that, I think it's pretty much full strength.
Nice. Have you got anyone that's on like the brink of a suspension or anything for the playoffs, or does it not? I think maybe they've cut that off now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they cut that off. There's certainly nobody going in on a tightrope on Saturday anyway. Nice. that we're aware of.
Good stuff. Expectations then for Saturday, has that changed at all in the last few days now?
Only that I think the crowd will get behind them a bit more than, I'm not saying they wouldn't have done previously, but I think if it had started going slightly sour, Collins would have copped it and it could have been really quite toxic. I don't think it'll be quite the same now. I think fans are more optimistic and hoping to just get behind the team. The message seems to have been, since Collins has gone, is the fans get behind the team. And they've responded with the ticket sales. And it just seems to be that, everybody wants to come together now, draw a line under what's gone over the last few weeks, and just go into Saturday and cheer them on to a victory. And then we'll the playoffs will be what the playoffs are, and we'll just have to see who we get, if that is the case, and take each game as it comes. But it's all about Saturday, and I think the attitude is try to be more positive than it's been negative recently, very much so.
Could end up being a masterstroke, couldn't it?
It could do, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. We touched on this earlier. You kind of answered this before I asked, but if you were John Brady in the Cobblers dressing room, you're talking about telling us to play on the counter attack. Anything else we can do to beat you? What's the easiest way to get past you at the minute?
We're vulnerable at set pieces, balls into the box. We don't seem to be good in the air. We've conceded a number of goals. The last three games, each game we've conceded a goal that's come from a set piece, a header from a set piece. So we're quite soft-centred in that respect, I think, down in the middle. And I would literally stay in the game first 10, 15 minutes and then try and have a right goal and put us on the back foot and make us nervous, put us under a bit of pressure and see if we crack. I think that's got to be the sort of tactics for Saturday, I think, if I was in the away dressing room.
Nice. Finally, before we ask for a prediction then, where Cobblers fans travelling up in their numbers, hopefully, where should we be eating, drinking before the game?
Head for the town centre. The ground's just at literally walking distance from the town centre. The away fans tend to more congregate at the Metrodome, which is at kind of just up the hill behind the away end. But you'd be welcome in the town centre. They spent quite a lot of money on the town centre, a lot of bars, a lot of eating places, and it is literally a 5-minute walk to the ground. So yes. You can't go too far wrong. Where you'd normally park, the away car park is near that Metrodome, so that's like usually the official away pub, so to speak. But yeah, you'd have no problems. You'd be welcome in the town centre.
Lovely. Really looking forward to my first trip to Oakwell. Are we still called Oakwell? Are we still on that?
Still Oakwell. Not done that yet.
I've never been there, so I'm looking forward to ticking it off my list and having a really good time. And hopefully both sets of fans come out of it as happy as we can. Score prediction then before you go.
Well, I predicted 1-1 last week. I've changed slightly. I still think we're always good for conceding. I might say 2-1, a very tight 2-1 home victory after the new manager bounce.
I can't see anything else apart from a Barnsley win for this weekend. I think at this point we'll take it on the chin if it does happen. So I think we'll score. What you said about set pieces, I'll go for John Guthrie to score another header from a corner. Maybe we take the lead just to add a little bit of drama to it. But probably. I'll go.
No good for my heart.
I'll go 3-1 Barnsley, I think, for the final score. I think you'll come back into it. And once you get that confidence, you'll find a way. Brilliant. Thank you, Ian. Thanks so much for joining us. Do you want to plug your work before we go?
Yeah, so... our podcast, Barnes' longest running podcast, is if you just search for Reds Report, you'll find us on X and Facebook, and it's on Acast, Spotify, wherever podcasts are usually found. So Reds Report, you'll find us.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. It's been really a pleasure having you on again. And hopefully, for your sake, we won't speak next season. But all the best. And as long as you beat that blue lot from down the road, then we'll be completely happy and you'll have friends forever in Northampton. Thanks so very much.
You're welcome.
Good luck to the Cobblers on Saturday. Let's all go up and have a lovely old time up in Barnsley. We'll be back on Tuesday with our reaction to this game. And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the preview show for the entire season. This is our last one, obviously, of the season. Thanks to all the guests we've had on this season. It's been a fantastic season being back in League One. Had a great time talking to everyone. So thank you to everyone who's come on. You can see and hear who has won the Away Fan of the Year in our Bayo Awards in a couple of weeks' time. It's voted on by our Patreon members. You can check that out in a couple of weeks' time once the season is done and dusted. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.